having it to see and listen to remember and accept. I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So you might notice that the Zendo looks a little different today. And we're going to be doing what's called the Sagaki ceremony, sometimes called the Sajiki ceremony. Sagaki is, sei means nourishment, nourishment of all kinds. And gaki means hungry ghost. So I'll be telling you a little bit more about that in a minute. But I wanted to say something about the way the Zendo is set up and what's up here first. These four corners are the guardian kings, the Deva king all-seeing in the west, Deva king all prosperity of the south, Deva king all-hearing of the north, Deva king national preserver of the east. So you can have your own ideas about what that means, but basically they're principles, regal presences. Instead of king, let's just say regal presences, powerful presences that are protectors of the space. And then if you look back behind you, you'll see on either side there are two longer banners that have sayings on them, sayings that we say that maybe don't have a particular translation, but they're sacred sayings of power and invocation. And then in the middle, one, two, three, four, five, are the different Tathagatas are Buddhas, and these characters say, homage to the Tathagata Ambrosia King, or Queen. Ambrosia, the bestower of sweetness. Homage to Tathagata, exquisitely hued body. Homage to Tathagata, extensive body, or vast body. Homage to Tathagata, abundant treasures. And homage to Tathagata, fearless. So these are all we can think of as dimensions of our awakened mind. So we call all this forth in the ceremony that we're going to be doing after the Dharma talk this morning. And we raise them up by putting these banners up. And then you'll notice the altar is on the opposite side of the room from the Buddha and has offerings of cookies, sweet things, fruit. That altar is placed opposite on the opposite wall from the Buddha specifically because hungry ghosts are understood to be beings who are so confused and wandering and groundless, as I'll talk about in a minute, that they don't feel worthy or they don't feel able to access the Dharma, to access awakening, to access their life. So that's what the altar is about. And when we do the ceremony, we'll make noise and call them and nourish them. Nourish them, and this nourishment is the sweetness of the nourishment is so not so they can take a nap, you know. I mean, sometimes you have a cookie and a cup of tea and you take a nap, but the feeling of the nourishment for the hungry ghosts has real strength to it. It's about them being able to move on, being able to move out of this delusion and stuckness in which they wander. So that's the general feeling of the altar and all of these banners that we have around. In a sense, what we're talking about today is fear and darkness, obstacles and demons, that which we run away from. So it's that time of year, right? This ceremony is done at a different time of year in Japan, but we do it right around Halloween. You know, Halloween's an interesting holiday. It's very ancient, right? It's a time when we recognize darkness. So it's a time when we look at what we fear. It's a time of offering and acknowledgement. So we do this ceremony of awakening and nourishing beings. We invite those beings, all the ghosts and lingering spirits, to take nourishment. I have a picture here. There's pictures of the ghosts, but I don't know if you can see this. Can you see this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The little tiny skinny necks, the hunger. So these gaki, have very tiny necks. Almost nothing can pass through, and very big bellies. They can never be satisfied. They can't take in enough, and they're constantly craving, constantly wishing for what is so close and so far away. Thich Nhat Hanh says that this gaki is based in our rootlessness, in our lack of connection. Does this sound familiar? Anybody ever experience themselves as a hungry ghost? Yeah. Anybody ever feel like you never have enough, or that things are so close but you're looking through the pane of a window at what other people have? Most of the time, I think we don't want to acknowledge these so-called monsters, ghosts. We ignore them and call them other. But this ceremony teaches us exactly how we must meet these beings that do not exist outside of us. It teaches us that we need to turn toward them intelligently, honor them, feed them. And it sounds like we can say, oh yeah, I can do that, right? I mean, we're all sitting here. I hope you all stay for the ceremony. We say, I can do that. But when it actually comes down to it, when we actually feel our fear, when we actually see and taste the darkness and the obstacles, generally we start to quiver, shake and quiver. Yeah. When we see our terror, when we see our jealousy, when we see our rage, when we see our profound neediness, we feel pretty puny a lot of the times. We may feel shame. We may feel, oh, not that one. I don't want that one. I want that one. You look at the other people and you say, oh, well, that's got to be easier than what I've got, right? They're hungry ghosts, their obstacles, their problem. I could handle that one, but this one's really bad. So then our hungry ghosts, our obstacles, increase. They become demons in themselves, right? They multiply like rabbits. And we may think we need to do battle with them to get rid of them. Right? Do you ever feel like that? Like, if I could just get rid of it, then I'd have this nice, tidy self, this little package that's acceptable to me and everyone else. this storyline that has a nice beginning, middle, and we don't want to think about the end, but... Or we may think, if we do enough spiritual practice, we'll be protected from these elements. We won't have them anymore. We might think we'll get enlightened, and then everything will be okay. There'll be some nice, cozy place that we can go. Or we can sometimes think that we will become an invincible warrior that can stride through the world. Demons flee before us. We never have to deal with them. They just, you know, the mention of our name and they go away. I have this image of like a titan with these little hungry ghosts kind of scuttling away into the bushes. But that's just another fantasy of a way to think that we're going to be safe and unperturbed. It's just another frightened fantasy. To actually take up these hungry ghosts is something altogether different. No matter how unpleasant, Suzuki Roshi teaches that we bow to everything, right? We should be able to bow at all times, even in the painful and difficult experiences. So, this is curiosity, this is willingness, this is what nourishment do you need in order to grow, in order to move on? There's a story about Milarepa that I've told before and that I think really fits today. So, have any of you heard of Milarepa? Yeah, some. So, Milarepa is often shown hearing the teachings of his teacher Marpa. And his teacher Marpa was kind of a jerk in a lot of ways. I mean, Marpa just kept saying, do this, do this, do this, do this. And Milarepa just kept going. So anyway, Milarepa is an embodiment of very, very deep practice, very diligent practice, very intensive commitment to the way. And so in this story, Milarepa was on retreat, and he was in a cave, and he needed some firewood. So he went out of the cave to get some firewood, and while he was gone, 5 demons came and took up residence in his cave. So when he got back, one of them was sitting on his bed and preaching, and the others were listening. They were going through his books, and they were just totally making themselves at home. You know, I can imagine they were drinking his tea and eating whatever was there and just having fun. And after he got over his shock at finding these 5 demons in his cave, he decided that they were local deities and that they were displeased with him for not having given them offerings or compliments or asking permission to be there on their land. So he composed a song right on the spot about how beautiful and wonderful their valley was. And this is what he says. Ye local demons, ghosts, and gods, all friends of Milarepa, drink the nectar of kindness and compassion, then return to your abodes. Right? So he's praising them. He's giving them homage and saying, all friends, you're my friends, right? I'm your friend. Drink this nectar of kindness and compassion and then go home. But the demons are like, you know, they're so not impressed. And the story goes, they stared at him balefully. And 2 of them advanced on him with their lips, smacking their and biting their lips and grinding their teeth. And a 3rd one came up behind Milarepa, shouting and laughing maliciously. Right, so you can imagine, there he is, he's trying to be nice, saying, you guys are so great, your valley is so beautiful, I'm giving you kindness, now please go home. And they're like not going for it at all. So they're trying to frighten him, right? They're trying to scare him and vanquish him. So Milarepa, like, he's not stupid. He realizes this is not working. And the next thing he tries is a powerful incantation, reciting it forcefully, they say. And that didn't work either. Then with great compassion, he preached the Dharma to them. Still didn't work. Even the Dharma didn't work. So he's tried being nice to them. He's tried being powerful with them. He's tried preaching the Dharma to them. And they're still there. They're still, you know, looking at his books, trying to scare him, hanging out in his cave. And then, finally, Milarepa realizes something. And he says, "Through the mercy of Marpa, my teacher, I have fully realized that all beings and all phenomena are ones of my own mind. The mind itself is transparency, avoidness. What, therefore, is the use of all this? How foolish I am to try and dispel these manifestations." So he realizes, oh, these are all in my mind. This is all mine. This is not, how can I vanquish something that is me? I'm at war with reality. And when he has this realization, he sings his song of realization. It's quite long, this song. But the last verse is directed at the demons. And it says, "Ye ghosts and demons, enemies of the Dharma, I welcome you today. It is my pleasure to receive you. I pray you stay. Do not hasten to leave. We will discourse and play together. Although you would be gone, stay the night." Okay, you want to hear that again? Mm-hmm. "Ye ghosts and demons, enemies of the Dharma, I welcome you today. It is my pleasure to receive you. I pray you stay. Do not hasten to leave. We will discourse and play together. Although you would be gone, stay the night." So he's not doing this from the position of having been vanquished by the demons. He's doing this out of realization, out of a sense of everything is welcome here. There is nothing that I cannot be stable with. This is this kind of connection that Thich Nhat Hanh is talking about. With this, it says, the demons fell into despair. They swirled together like a whirlpool and merged into one and vanished. So, Milarepa, that he was perfectly willing for them to live with him in his cave. I imagine he would have served them tea. It was fine. But at that, as demons, they vanished. Who knows whether they stuck around or not. Maybe they were still his buddy. But as demons, they were vanished. They were vanquished. So we see placating, being nice did not work. Compliments did not impress them. Powerful incantations didn't move them at all. Even preaching the Dharma with great compassion didn't work. It was only when Milarepa did not see the demons as separate that they vanished. It was when he settled himself into this interconnectedness that Thich Nhat Hanh was talking about, grounded himself in his life, and sang his song of realization that he was freed from the demons. So this is teaching us what we must do over and over again. We must touch our own realization and we must sing our own song of realization. Over and over and over. One of the other fantasies we can come up with is that if we just do this once, you know, somehow we just, if we face the difficulties, the demons once, they'll all just go away for good. But that's not the way it works. Because these demons are our teachers. They push us into the song of realization. When we sing our song of realization, they've done their job. Right? So we practice continuously with patience and kindness and respect. We look at our lives for our true teachers. Shinshu's been talking about Shanti Deva's teachings, and part of what he teaches is for us to practice gratitude and appreciation for the things that most challenge us. Because when we are aware of what most challenges us and we can open up to it, we can find the song of realization. We can meet directly life itself. When we sit on our cushions and sit in zazen, we have a really great opportunity to do this. We can ask ourselves, am I willing? Can I do this? Can I offer nourishment, real nourishment? Can I find stability? Can I trust what is most true? Can I realize what's most true? Even the most forbidding monsters, or the most dejected sense of defeat or humiliation or despair, the things we call enemy can be our teachers. If we cultivate this path, this spirit of entering into direct relationship with them, moving toward what frightens us, but not in this counterphobic way, but in a really grounded way of saying, yes, this will teach me. You know, we don't have to search very far for these things, do we? I don't think so. In Zen we say, just this is it. But in a really difficult circumstance, we say, well, not this. Right? Not this one. This isn't it. The other one over there was it. Or yesterday that was it. Or tomorrow is going to be it. Not right now. Not this moment. But that's the easy way out. We may, if we feel like we're groping in the dark, we're in a cave, we don't even see the demons, but we know they're there, we might think, well, not this. Those light moments, the ones where I'm bright and happy, that's it. But when we aren't willing to enter the dark, all the creatures of our imagination come. When we flee from our home, right, the demons take up residence. And then when we get back, we go, whoa, what happened? So we take Milarepa as our guide, and we stop long enough to remember our true nature and attend to our actual experience. And we say, yep, this is it. No need for them to move out of my cave. I'm not going to be able to vanquish them. I can be inclusive with intelligence. This is bowing. This is what Suzuki Roshi talks about when he talks about bowing. That we enter into a relationship. And there's another image that comes to mind with this, is that one of the stories about hell, when we're a hungry ghost and so is everybody around us that we think, is this image of being sitting around a table with lots of food in front of them, only their chopsticks are too long. They can't pick up the food and get it to their mouths because the chopsticks are like this long. But all they have to do is remember that they can feed the being across from them. And everyone is nourished, right? So if my chopstick is, what, 5 feet long. I can feed you, and you could feed me. This is bowing. This is the spirit of bowing and saying, okay, my song of realization is inclusive. It means that I drop my own protectiveness and actually engage. This means that we are willing to face all the demons. And we can only do that when we settle into our interconnectedness, when we settle into what's most true. One of the versions of the ceremony, there's this chant that's done. I'm not sure if we're going to do this particular version or not today, but this is the way it goes. Boundless wandering beings, thirsting in a swirling daze for the material and Dharma worlds, all these real and unreal beings suffering in myriad forms have been brought together completely. Their deep desires satisfied. We free them, we free ourselves from the burdens of conscious and unconscious karma. Light and dark worlds become the seeds of wisdom and perfect enlightenment. So this is the spirit of Milarepa, and it's the spirit of our practice and our way of engaging our lives, and that which scares us is to take Milarepa as a guide, to take our practice as a guide, to remember who we are, and to get out our long chopstick and sit with stability. Say, don't go away. You don't need to go away. We're in this together. Thank you.